Good to see everybody tonight. We're continuing in our study of King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. If you'll turn to 2 Chronicles 17, we'll continue on that. And we'll be looking at verses 10 through 19 tonight. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdom of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents, tribute silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and the cities of store. And he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And these are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers. Of Judah the captains of thousands, Adna the chief, and with him mighty men of valor, 300,000. And next to him was Jehohanan the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amasiah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. And of Benjamin Eliada, a mighty man of valor, and with him armed men with bow and shield, 200,000. And next him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 ready prepared for the war. These waited on the king, besides those whom the king put in the fenced cities throughout all Judah. Well, last time in our opening portion of the scriptures regarding King Jehoshaphat, we found out that King Jehoshaphat was a good king. He started off well. He did what was right in the sight of God. One of the things we saw last time was the fact that Jehoshaphat sent teachers of the law throughout the nation of Judah to all the villages and cities so all the people could hear the word of God, could be taught the scriptures. And here tonight, in this particular portion, in verses 10 through 19, we see know some other things about King Jehoshaphat. First of all, in verse 10, we see that the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah. The fear of the Lord can be rendered the terror of the Lord. The people of the pagan nations surrounding Judah were terrified. They were scared to death of Judah and King Jehoshaphat. And, of course, we understand that this great fear came from the Lord. The Lord was protecting his people from their enemies. And as a result of the fear of the Lord, Judah had no wars to fight. They lived in peace during this time. So we see that the hand of God, the blessing of God, was on King Jehoshaphat continually during this time. And verse 11, it says that some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents, silver, and the Arabians brought some animals to King Jehoshaphat. The Philistines brought the silver to the king, and the Arabs brought 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. That's over 15,000 goats. That's a lot of goats, folks, let me tell you. But Judah's enemies wanted to make peace with Jehoshaphat because of the fear of the Lord. And we know that the Philistines were the ancient enemies of Israel. They were a constant battle at war with one another. But we see here that the Philistines submitted themselves to Jehoshaphat by bringing him silver and gifts. They wanted the King Jehoshaphat to know that they were not going to make war against the nation of Judah. And again, we see the hand of God, the blessing of God upon this king. In verse 12, we read that Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly. He built fortresses, or that is, castles, and cities of store. In other words, Jehoshaphat grew greater and greater in stature in the nation of Judah. He had castles. He built castles. These are fortresses, a place that can withstand an enemy attack. And in those days, if an invasion happened in the nation, in a country, they would go to the cities and the villages and do battle and siege them first, of course. So what Jehoshaphat did, he built up these cities to fortresses. He armed them, built fortifications in them and around them to resist this enemy attack. And we also see that he built store cities. These were cities that stored weapons and supplies for his army. And it's interesting that we see the mighty men of valor. They were all centered around the city of Jerusalem. But Jehoshaphat did a very intelligent thing, a very smart thing. You know, if all the weapons, of all the stores and the weapons and the supplies that his army needed were in one central location, it would be fairly easy for an enemy to come and take the city of Jerusalem and take his weapons, take his supplies. His army would have no weapons to fight with. So what he did, he scattered these store cities around the kingdom of Judah and armed them and put their weapons in these stores in these various cities to have as protection against an invading force. So we see that King Jehoshaphat was preparing the nation of Judah for battle. And I think there's something that interesting here that we should understand. You know, you and I have to be prepared for battle too, don't we? We don't fight with guns or bullets or bombs. Our warfare is spiritual warfare, isn't it? That's where the battle is. We battle the flesh, we battle the world, we battle Satan. Three formidable enemies. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be fortified against those enemies. We need the Word of God. We need to be on our knees before God in prayer to do battle against these forces. But we see in verse 13 that the mighty men of valor were mentioned. And in verses 14 through 19, we have a description of those mighty men of valor. Now, the word valor, the dictionary definition of the word valor is a boldness in facing great danger. These men were soldiers. They were courageous warriors. They were trained and willing to defend Judah against his enemies. That's what they were there for. Adnah, Jehohanan, Amasiah, Eliada, Jehozabad, they were the generals of this vast army. And you know, our military fights against foreign enemies. They defend our country. But these mighty men of valor, they were fighting for something more. They were not only fighting for the safety of the people of Judah, they were also fighting for the Lord God of Israel. And that's a big difference. If you were to ask our military in the United States, you're fighting for the Lord, you would say, what? What are you talking about? But in the nation of Judah, these mighty men of valor, these warriors, these courageous men were fighting for the Lord. And you know, our military is sworn to protect and defend the U.S., United States against all enemies. And this army of Judah was not only sworn to protect and defend their nation, but also to carry out the will of God. This called for obedience for these soldiers, for these mighty men of valor. You know, in a military situation, in Army, Navy, or Air Force, whatever, there are certain rules and regulations. There's a certain amount of discipline that you have to submit to. This discipline is there because when you fight a battle, when you fight a war, you've got to remember your training. You've got to be disciplined when you're fighting. And we have here this incredible army, and I added up the total of it, of these soldiers. 1,160,000 men of valor. It was a million man army. Can you imagine? I don't think the Assyrians or the Egyptians or the Babylonians would want to attack this force. I don't, you know. But King Jehoshaphat had these men at his beck and call. In verse 19 it says, these waited on the king. The king was the, if you want to call him, the commander-in-chief of this great army. And these mighty men of valor, these 1 million men served King Jehoshaphat. Of course, they were all ultimately serving the Lord, you see. And, you know, I think there's a lot of criticism going on about, what the things that Christians say and the things that Christians do. For instance, you know, that hymn that we all, remember and sing occasionally, Onward Christian Soldiers. And, you know, if, we're criticized or Christians are criticized or that hymn is criticized as being too militaristic, it conjures up bloodshed and, violence and death and that type of thing. I've heard those things, mentioned or said about the Onward Christian Soldiers. But if you read that hymn, you'll find out that they're not talking about a battle fought with bombs and bullets and guns. This is a spiritual battle. This is spiritual warfare that we're talking about here. And the hymn, this hymn speaks of that warfare, but it's a spiritual type of warfare. And the people of Judah, they had not only had to fight that spiritual warfare, they had to fight physically. They had to be prepared. Because any number of people surrounding the nation of Israel or surrounding the nation of Judah could invade and could take over and kill the Israelites. They were surrounded on all their borders by their enemies. Things haven't changed much. The nation of Israel today is surrounded by their enemies on all the borders. And we know that these people would love to bomb Israel out of existence. You got this nutcase over in Iran, Ahmadinejad or whatever his name is. He would like to launch a nuclear strike, if you can believe that, a nuclear strike against the nation of Israel. That's what he's threatened to do. Of course, the Lord's not going to prevent that. The Lord is going to protect Israel from all these crazy threats. But you know, King Jehoshaphat had to take these precautions. He had to take these men, and these men, these mighty men of valor, they were not just your ordinary cut-and-dried draftees type soldiers. These were career military, well-trained, highly motivated soldiers. They were courageous. They were brave. These men would not flinch in battle. These men would not retreat. They would fight until the end of their lives, if necessary. So we have this great army of men commanded by King Jehoshaphat. And one of the things that we notice here is that this great army, 1 million strong, suppose before a battle, every one of these mighty men of valor, these soldiers, were on their knees before God in prayer. Can you imagine the power that would have? I wouldn't say that army would be invincible, but it would be close to it. 1 million soldiers together praying to the Lord before their battle. Can you imagine what every Christian at Northgate Chapel would do if we got on our knees, came to before the Lord, and prayed for the ministry and the work here at Northgate Chapel? I don't mean just the folks here at the prayer meeting. Every person that's entered, comes through the doors, who counts themselves in fellowship here at Northgate Chapel, if we were all prayed together, what would happen to our assembly, do you think? What would happen if on Tuesdays, the men and women of Northgate Chapel, and I'm not talking about the tenor, just a few here tonight, I'm talking about all the Christians here at Northgate Chapel, came before the Lord and were praying for the Awana Club, for the Awana leaders and the children and the parents, and praying sincerely and fervently. What do you think our Awana Club would be like? Suppose the men and women here at Northgate Chapel, all of them, were before the Lord and praying with all sincerity of heart in the fervency and the power of the Spirit of God for the ladies' missionary conference on October the 1st. What kind of conference would that be, do you think? Brothers, sisters in Christ, we have an opportunity here. We have a mighty moving of the Spirit of God in our midst. We can ask this powerful Spirit, we can ask this powerful, great God that we have to fill us with His Spirit to go out from this assembly and minister the Word of God, minister the Gospel. And you know, I think sometimes our prayers are small, aren't they, before God? I know mine are sometimes. That's a bad habit I have. And I'm trying to break that habit. You know, we have a big God. Shouldn't our prayers be big? We have a great God. Shouldn't our prayers be in keeping with Him, His greatness, His power, His authority? Shouldn't we pray in fervency and sincerity of heart for the ministries and the things that are going on here at Northgate Chapel? Suppose every Christian here did that on a regular basis. And like I said, not the people, just the people here at the prayer meeting. But I'm talking about every single believer at Northgate Chapel coming before the Lord and praying with all fervency in their hearts. For do you think Northgate Chapel, the people here, would be changed? Do you think our assembly and our ministry would take on something that we haven't seen before? I believe it would. I believe it would. And we go to prayer tonight, and we're going to pray for certain things. But let's pray for this assembly. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for the work here at Northgate Chapel. Let's pray that the Lord will use us in a mighty and powerful way. Not only in Awana and Sunday school and the Saturday morning Bible club, but in every aspect of the ministry here at Northgate Chapel, regardless of what it is, regardless of who is involved, that we would pray for these works, that we would come before the throne of grace and lay our prayers out with all honesty and passion in our hearts before our all-powerful God. Do you think He would answer those prayers? I think He would. I think He would. Well, Brother Bob has some prayer requests, and I'll turn the rest of the meeting over to him.